Right, so hello, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome welcome to my session about the SUSE Adaptable Linux Platform. And I would like to share what happened since last year, because some of you may remember that a year ago, Axel Schmidt and me had a session together about the issues he sees with OpenSUSE Leap, and in fact, we as SUSE see as well. My name is Jiří Šrajn. I'm with SUSE as SLIR Release Manager and architect for the Adaptable Linux Platform. In this session, I will first cover the reasons why we are looking into developing something new. It may be a bit of repeating what I already said a year ago. I would like to summarize what has been done since last year's session. I would like to share what is coming next, and also explain why, at least most recently, you really cannot see much happening. And of course, at the end of the session, there will be time for questions. So, why are we looking into doing something different than SLES next version? If you look at the requests for the product, you see many of them really conflicting each other, depending on which customer or which partner you ask. One user would like to have the most recent version of virtually anything, be it kernel for hardware support, be it the Python stack or any other programming language for development, while the other one would like release it once and keep it stable, maintain the same version for at least a decade, so that I don't need to update anything else in my software ecosystem. It's with current way the Linux distributions are being done quite hard to please everybody, and I'm pretty confident that if I asked this audience which version of Python, Ruby, anything you want to have in the distribution, limiting it to a single one, you would have a pretty hard time to agree just to one. The way we are doing the Linux distributions is pretty much what we have been done since last century with the old Unix. We have the package management systems, which simplify a lot, solve a lot of issues, but it is not a perfect solution. What we need to do is really to focus on the application you want to run, so that the application can have the environment it needs, and it is not depending or conflicting with the requirements of other application you want to run on the same host or even on the base operating system. What we are intending to do is to containerize the distribution to a large extent, so to put workloads and as a workload, you can imagine basically the application, or even does not necessarily need to be a single daemon. It can be a LAMP stack. Put the workloads into a containers, which will give them some isolation from each other as well as from the system, and it will easily allow them to bring whichever libraries or tools in any specific version which is needed for their needs. Of course, there are two obvious questions. One is what actually can be containerized, because not every workload or every application which is available is ready for being containerized. For some, it means substantial efforts. And the other question is what actually makes sense to be containerized. On the first look, it may seem that anything can be containerized. Anything makes sense to be containerized. I often say that you can look at the container as a statically linked binary. But for tools which are somehow close to the operating system itself, the question is whether really it has that many benefits over running the application directly on the host. The benefits of really separating the workloads from each other is that really what you do is to separate the base system, which can run on its own pace, from the applications. You can bring support for new hardware while keeping the runtime environment of your database the same. And at the same time, the applications are separated from each other. They do not interfere. And in fact, you can pick for each part of the whole distribution a different pace of following the upstream development. What does it mean from user's point of view? The ideal, if everything is done right, the ideal answer is nothing. Users should keep using the system as much as possible the same as they do now. They should not realize that whether something is running in containers and not directly on the host. You can give it a try from the desktop view. We have MicroOS desktop since maybe years now. I actually don't even know when it was first introduced. You can put a hands-on on running containerized desktop and see what the user experience about it can be. So this is why we are actually trying to change something. And for those who were here last year, I didn't say anything new, but what has changed since a year ago? We started working on adaptable Linux platform prototypes. In fact, we released three of the prototypes, basically roughly 3 months from each other. Each of the prototypes consisted of the base operating system and a set of workload containers, which could really show how a specific workload can be run in a container. I will look at the individual releases which we made and say some details about them. The first one came in September last year. We only released it up for a single architecture, which was obviously x86-64. We only released it as a raw disk image, if I remember correctly, for bare metal as well as for a KVM virtualization system. The system is provided only as a transactional system, which is what you remember from MicroOS, Cubic, or SleeMicro. The root subvolume of the file system is read-only. Some parts of the file system obviously are writable. If you update the system, meaning the RPMs, it means that you have to reboot. Even if that is, since a few days, not entirely true anymore. And if anything goes wrong, you can always roll back to the previous snapshot. With the September prototype, we introduced the first demo of full disk encryption. And we provided an initial set of containerized workloads as for demo purposes. The most interesting was probably the virtualization stack. The YAST team did manage to put YAST into a container or in fact two containers for one for the graphical interface and another one for anchors, and really many more. After September prototype, we released a December prototype where we extended the list of supported architecture by ARC64. This was the first release when we provided a web-based installer. Back then, it was called dinstaller. Recently, it was renamed by Agama. We provided it at this time only for x86-64. And if you are here this morning, you could follow Anchor's session and live demo about the installer. Another significant change was SE Linux not only being included, but being switched to enforcing mode. You might recall that until now, all SUSE products, or most of SUSE products, were shipping AppArmor as an application security framework. With SE Linux, we ship the framework, but no policies. The exception was SLI Micro. With ALP, we aim to have, with the ALP platform, we aim to have general-purpose operating system products with fully supported SE Linux stack, including the policies. And last significant change was Network Manager being fully integrated into the product, meaning there is no wicket, even for the server use. So far, the last prototype was released end of March. Again, we added one more architecture. This time, it was S390X, the IBM mainframes. On top of what we included in the previous ones, we provided the initial set of Ansible playbooks, and of course Ansible itself as well for configuration management. We included the Sensor project, which is a tool for IT organizations and monitoring the hosts in the system. Full disk encryption now works even from the installer at the installation time, not only from the raw disk images. We integrated first SUSE Confidential Computing solution on ALP, and last significant change is the new Vector Container Security Scanner. Some of you probably noticed SUSE acquired the new Vector company, quite some time ago already. So we are integrating the technology into SUSE ALP. So this is what happened until now, and next question is, what is coming next? I wish I could tell you which products we will release at which point of time, but unfortunately, I cannot really do so. The main reason is that while we are already looking into specific products, remember P in the ALP abbreviation stands for platform, not for product. We are looking into individual products to be built on the ALP platform. We are still not ready to communicate which product comes at which time without too high risk, or almost without being almost sure that the information I would share now would not be valid. We are way too early in the development process. We are working heavily on the platform itself. We are looking into the products, but I'm sorry, I cannot really tell you specific products at this point of time. However, to tell you at least something, we, with the previous code stream, Sleep 15, and in fact the same in the past, we usually released a bunch of products at the same time. It was the SUSE Enterprise Server, desktop high availability extension, real-time extension, high-performance computing. We do not plan to do it like that. We plan to release products gradually, and as we manage to map the technology to the new platform, integrate everything together, you can expect that there will be more releases per year, at least initially, than you know from now. So don't expect everything at the same time, but really the products in groups. What I can, however, share is that at least initially the main focus will not be on desktop, but for the server products, be it from data center to edge, it will be across all the platforms. Typically, the product will consist of the base operating system and some workloads. Workloads will be either containerized or running directly on the host. As I mentioned before, we can only containerize what currently can be containerized, and we should only containerize what makes sense to be containerized. If I can make an example of something that can be containerized, and I'm not sure how much sense it makes, imagine the Firewall D, which is a tool which can run easily in the container, but it's really so close to the system that, in my opinion, and take it as my personal opinion, it's questionable how much sense it really makes. As I said, desktop is not on the table right now. It will definitely not be in the initial set of products. And I really cannot provide you any timeline, not even related to the release of the first product based on the platform. If you followed the development in then you could have seen that all the prototypes until now, until the March prototype, were developed in the external build service. The setup of the projects in build service has changed several times. So for those who are not directly involved, I admit it was a bit messy. And the obvious question is, okay, so has anything happened since then? There is nothing changed in the build service. Well, the observation is correct, unfortunately. The reason is that we simply hit the reality. We as SUSE need to be able to get all the certifications for products, getting it common criteria certified, etc. And for that, it means that we, as the company, need to have the full control over the built environment, which would mean if we wanted to build in the OBS, it would mean that SUSE and only SUSE employees have the control over the open build service instance. I don't think that either SUSE or the Open SUSE community wants to give the control to SUSE. So because of that, we moved the build environment into the internal build service. This does not change anything to our commitment to be as open as possible. We only need to face constraints which we have there caused by the needs to certify our products. And we need to find ways how to enable people from the OpenSUSE community to contribute to the code stream where they want, because obviously it will not be only the SUSE products built on the ALP platform, but it can also be products built with the OpenSUSE umbrella. As a change which is currently hidden inside, but can have some impact in the future, we already internally started using Git for tracking the source, the package sources. We believe that this is something that at some point of time the OpenSUSE community can and the Open Build Service can benefit from. We are in pretty early stage with that, but stay tuned about what happens in the future. About the built repositories, we have to build the ALP products. We in fact have three repositories. One of them, which we call Workbench, is I would like to say minimal, but if you see the number of packages, it's hard to call it minimal. But it is a set of packages which should remain close to static, or ideally static, which can be used to bootstrap future versions. Once we start developing next version, we can build against this one, and it will ease our bootstrapping. After we fix all issues, there are a few on some architectures still. This should remain static, and if we need any changes, the typical reason could be introducing support for new hardware architecture. We would create a new version of the Workbench, but otherwise we should stick with this one as long as possible. This repository is actually already mirroring to the Open Build Service, so you can actually already look what is the minimal set of packages to actually build or build against the Linux, build the Linux distribution against. Then the second repository is the repository which we call source, which includes all the RPMs and containers which we built, and those can then be selected on close to per package or per container basis, so that we build the individual products. Right now, neither source nor products are mirrored to the OBS. The last one is there really from the March prototype. The reason is that it's not yet reasonably stable. Everything that gets built by the source needs to go through all reviews which we need to do for building, including the packages in the enterprise distribution. It takes some time. Some packages need fixes for legal reasons, etc. As soon as we are in a reasonable shape, then we should mirror them to the Open Build Service as well as the same as we do with Workbench. And the same will also happen with the product. And then the OpenSUSE community, of course, will be able to consume these packages, containers. Yeah, I already said about this slide. So this is roughly where we are. Before moving to a Q&A session, I would like to invite you to a couple of more sessions which are related to ALP, which are planned here this weekend. About half an hour from now, we will have a session about ALP in Amazon Web Service. Later today, Ludwig will talk about Git native packaging, which we believe is the future, and hopefully even we will, at some point of time, be able to use at least some of it for ALP. Tomorrow, we have two sessions about SE Linux, one for Tumbleweed and one in ALP. I believe that for both it's worth getting familiar with SE Linux instead of using ALP Armor. We have on Saturday evening session about Python and MicroOS / ALP, and a session about creating a leap replacement from ALP. Please check the schedule. I took it like 2 days ago. And last but not least, again, those of you who were here last year can remember the ALP Pro session. We will have a similar session today as well. It's scheduled today at 3:30. So we have quite some time for questions now. But at 3:30, I will have some of my colleagues here, so you can shoot your questions then. And with that, I'm open for your questions. If anybody has questions, raise the hand, grab the microphone, and shoot the question.
Not sure if it is too technical for this session, but how is the update inside the container supposed to be managed? Is that RPM based, or are you just shipping new containers when an update, software update, is needed?
Obviously, first building the container, the container will be built from RPMs. There is probably no reason to change anything about that, because until now we deliver all software as RPMs, and we can expect that there may be use cases for putting it outside of a container as RPM as well. Speaking about updating the content of the containers, the most natural way in the container and container ecosystem is really to replace the container. So download a new version of the container and start a new container.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Can you give an estimate for the difficulty of delivering an application into this platform relative to a third-party vendor now shipping packages?
Could you please repeat it? I'm not sure I got exactly what you mean.
So right now, a third-party vendor would create packages, make them work on SLES, and ship them. This new application would need some extra work to put this application into a container. How much additional work is this?
Writing a Docker file? No, it should. There will be some overhead, because instead of the RPM, you will need to build the container. But if you look at it from the other point of view, it will be your, as the developer's, decision to pick which version of which libraries or which tool will be put into your container. You will have the full control, and if speaking about SLE 15, SUSE updates a library in the next service pack, you may have the problem that there are some compatibility issues. While if you deliver a container, it is you who is in control which version of the same library will be used. So you may have some additional overhead building the container, but you can save some efforts on making sure that the application is compatible with the environment, because you will have a large part of the environment under control.
I would just like to add what you said, Hishi. I think the heavy lift is still like the RPM creation, right? So if somebody of our third-party customers or users are used to build the RPM out of their application to ship for our distribution, they would still need to do it. Packaging it, again, because the container is just a means to deploy their application like the RPM is still like leaning on the RPM that they create, and then the Docker file is just like a one-off. They can use also our BCI images for that, and you know, to have exactly the same footprint and ecosystem that they're used to use for OpenSUSE, Leap, Tumbleweed, or Svea releases these days, so that will still be true. And again, creating the container is just a one-off. If you wish, probably the extra step is mostly like the validation step. So the end user will need to validate now a container rather than just validating the zipper in of the RPM. So integrating that validation in their pipeline. That should be really minimal.
You said at the beginning you could imagine some applications or some workload which is not useful to containerize. Do you have some guidelines or general rules how to determine?
Well, general rules. Well, if it cannot be containerized, then it cannot be containerized. You cannot instantly do much about it. And we have no ways to actually prevent you installing RPM directly on the bare metal. But it will be your responsibility or the application developer's responsibility to make sure that all the compatibility with the system libraries are met. You cannot bring your update with your update of glibc. You will need to stick with the one provided by the base system, because otherwise we could not give you any support of the system. So you will need to live with these limitations. In fact, it's not much different to what you have now with the standard Linux distributions. You are bound to what's in the base system. So nothing will really prevent you. That's it. You will just not have the level of control which you can have if you put your application into a container.
Hishi, could you expand a bit on what exactly the role of the workbench is? So it sounded like a bit of a mixture between what used to be like the bootstrap cycle within a larger project, but possibly it also sounded like this might be a bit like the SLE15 GM that then service packs get built upon in later version. So would that still get frozen if we did an imaginary ALP 1.1?
It is a project really for bootstrapping. So it's not really a bootstrap cycle. Of the repository build, it's really completely built repository consisting of roughly 8,000 source packages. Sorry, I don't remember the number. And really, the goal is that at the point of time, we fix the remaining failures, we freeze it, we will not update it, and then yes, we will build the products and can be several versions of product against this project, the same as we built Service Pack 1 against GA and so on. The difference is that when finishing, the SP1, or the source project, which is equivalent of SP1, should be able to build after bootstrapping standalone independently on the workbench. And also, no package built in workbench should be part of any of the products or used to build any of the containers. It's really only to bootstrap the packages in the source project. And yes, it should be frozen until there is a significant reason to release a new version of it. It will not be updated. We will release a new version of Workbench to bootstrap future products. Does this explanation help?
So in particular, what I'm wondering is, does the frozen packages in the Workbench then mean that we can or cannot update the GCC version then in the next release of, you know, an
obviously can update the GCC version because we have one version of GCC in Workbench, which is frozen, and then we have GCC building in this with other sources. So the version of GCC we want to ship for the first time builds against the one from Workbench, and then obviously it rebuilds against itself. Okay, so we have probably time for one last question.
Yeah, probably have a few questions, but they are all related. So on second slide, I believe, you mentioned that some users want stable environment and some customers want
bleeding edge.
But you didn't mention when users want stable environment, but with all security updates. So does ALP keep in mind those users? And yeah, and this is like first question. And second related, you mentioned that whatever users keep in containers, whatever they want, of versions of libraries that they want. But that's not usually the case because in simplest case, users will use whatever SUSE or OpenSUSE provides, whatever it has in official repositories that everyone else uses. And and Leap in this sense, it provides a stable version with all the security updates. So will ALP have focus provide this set of like default, let's say, default libraries with recently patched. Okay. Yeah, that's
so
probably
the first question about the bleeding edge versus stable. Stable doesn't mean we release and never touch it anymore. If you look at what we provide as part of SLE, and in fact, Leap inherits a lot of it, we with the initial release of the CodeStream shipped a package in a specific version, and obviously over time security bugs are reported, fixed, and instead of updating the package to a newer version, which would be probably the easiest solution, we take the bug fix for the respective security bug and only fix or provide that minimal bug fix on top of the version we shipped. So this is what I mean as stable. It's not limited to security, but I guess you know what I mean. And about the different pace, and again, this is something we don't have the details yet in a way that we could put a documentation and say this is how it will be and nothing would change. We intend to provide several streams of the specific package or subsystem, each running on a different pace, and then you will really have the chance to pick which one you want to use for building your workload.
Okay, so it kind of answers that probably I'll have in mind to provide like stable environment that Leap currently provides. I mean, default versions of libraries. Yeah.
The stable environment will probably be pretty close to what Leap is doing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that, I think we are almost out of time. If any question crosses your mind later, as I said, we will have the Alprost in 1 hour and 15 minutes when some of my colleagues will be up here with me. And I myself will be here at the conference all day tomorrow and definitely also Sunday morning. So feel free to ask anything whenever you run into me. And thank you for your attention.